Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Tagliano and Abe Hamilton. Who's coming up in a few minutes, Ed?
Well, we're going to have Jen Bricker, who's a motivational speaker. She's author of Everything is Possible. She's going to be talking with us about finding the faith and courage to follow your dreams. I'm just dreaming about lunch. That's all I've got.
I was going to ask you, do you have the faith and courage to follow your dreams?
You know, you get to my age, your dreams just become just so much smaller.
They're in the mirror?
No, my dream's not in the mirror.
Oh, you mean just getting up every day and having a good
I'm just dreaming about lunch is what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you.
I'm not going to conquer the earth.
You figured that out.
Yeah, so I figured that out. And
expectation level drops.
Absolutely.
After a certain
And you know what? I'm not even ashamed of it.
That's right, folks. That's why we have Ed on this show, because he's enterprising.
Folks, your dreams are not small enough. I'm just telling you. You dream big, life's going to just pop you in the eye. You're going to walk around with a black eye,
and,
bloody nose.
For a motivational speaker, Ed Tagliano, please call the number 444 and or contact us and schedule Ed for your next event.
That's right. Folks, I'm telling you, today is as good as it gets. It's all downhill from here. You think if I wrote a book about...
I don't think Tony Robbins is worried about you, brother, taking his audience.
I could write a book that's the antithesis of that culture. I bet that'd be a bestseller. Instead of Joel Osteen, every day's a Friday, mine's every day's a Monday. Let's just face facts.
Hilarious.
Let's face facts, folks.
Every day
is
a Monday.
This is as good as it gets.
Yeah. Somehow I don't see that making the New York Times bestseller list. Maybe I'm misreading the American people.
We had Bishop Jackson on yesterday. He was talking about somebody had, you know, whatever, 10, 15 years ago had written the book. It was Everything Men Know About Women, and it was filled with blank pages, and it was a New York Times bestseller.
I wish that was my idea.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do that. Every day is a Monday.
Okay,
you're looking at your body.
No matter what Joel Osteen says.
That's right. Your body at 22 years old, that's as good as it's ever going to be.
It's downhill after that. You peaked.
Yeah.
You have peaked at 22, ladies and gentlemen. That's all right.
That recliner you bought, is going to be your home, man. It's going to be the best place.
I don't know. Somehow I think we're losing listeners by the minute with your... your exhortation to mediocrity.
I'm going to write this book.
You write that book.
I'm going to invite both of you
Call Jay McIntyre to see if you can get on Today's Issues.
I'm going to invite both you naysayers to my home in the Caribbean after I'm through.
After you sell the book?
Yeah.
Well, then life will have improved for you, right? So it sort of would defy your own message of negativity.
It would. I'll have to think my way through that.
You really need to navigate that right there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Abe and Ed Tagliano. Thank you for listening to our program. Is Donald Trump is he closing in on, or are they about tied with Hillary Clinton now in the polls? I say poll, that's a big general
term. Well, the Los Angeles poll that I've been following, it has him up by 6 or 7 points.
That's a national poll.
A national poll.
Yeah.
And then...
The national poll is fun to look at, but what you need to look at is how the states... That the so-called swing
states. They're tied. Swing states are tied.
Yeah, that's amazing, because he was behind by
a
lot.
He was behind by 5 to 10 points just 3 weeks ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, it was following the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah,
well, it looked like he was toast.
Well, that lasted for about a month, though.
Yeah.
That same separation that she had between him. And then I think what hurt her too is this health issue, Abe.
Yeah.
Some. Now, you got your people who are already fixed on they're going to vote one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they have been for months because they're basically conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat. And then I don't know what's in the middle 20%, 30% of people maybe who could go either way.
It might be as much as 15, maybe. I don't know.
You mean as little as 15?
Yeah, little as 15. I think it's the nation, in terms of likely voters, it's pretty polarized,
right.
I think.
You think so? So, but that didn't help her, you know, being in the news for
And what's odd is I'm looking at Drudge. Obviously, Drudge is a conservative portal for news.
Right.
But it says she had there's a headline that says Hillary has more problems with going up and down stairs. And they have a picture. And there's somebody helping her walk up the stairs to an event on one of her campaign stops. And when now that that narrative is out there that Hillary Clinton has health issues, you see a picture of us. Of probably a gentleman, you know, somebody on her staff, helping a 68-year-old woman up some stairs. Normally, you'd think, well, that's just being a gentleman. I would do it if it was a 68. If Hillary Clinton was walking up, I'd help her. I would offer, you know. And but the narrative of health issues makes that picture look suspect. So she's got a little bit of a problem. She's going to have to dispense with that if she's going to help herself.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Yeah, yeah. So we got the first debate coming up when?
Monday night.
The 26th.
Oh, it's going against Monday Night Football. That's what Trump didn't like, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Why would they do that?
Why would the debate?
Why would they put it on Monday night?
I don't
Why
know.
Why not Tuesday? I don't know.
I know.
Thursday. All of them are not on Monday night.
There right, is, but yeah, that one, but the that first one? First yeah. I mean, come on.
It depends who's playing. You know, I'm watching.
At my house, it doesn't matter who's
playing. I'm watching
playing.
The debate. You know,
me too. So
yeah,
I.
People will watch the debate.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to watch the debate, unless you are oblivious to the fact that we live in a country where we elect our leaders,
right?
Which there are a lot of Americans. Who
I was
are,
just about to say there are
yeah,
a lot of
Americans
who
fall in that category. You know, they don't even know we live in a representative republic.
Yeah.
But you got your people, unless you're loyal fans of. Of that team, of those two teams, you're probably going to watch that debate. And
you know,
you're probably going to tape the debate.
This is going to be a – I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, this is –
as far as the numbers go.
This is like pay-per-view.
Between Hillary Clinton. Huh?
This is like pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I just found the stairs that Ed referred to. These are not like high stairs.
No.
She's getting help going
You
up.
Mean that she had to be helped walking
these
up?
Are little, these are stairs that are like from the ground going into the front door of a house. And maybe
when was that, though?
This?
Does it say when that was?
I think it was just in the last day or two, or maybe over the weekend. I don't know. They say
I don't know the date.
And to see everybody's with cell phones.
You know what it
pictures.
Is, though? What it is, though, I think people don't believe that they're telling us how serious her condition is.
Right.
That's what most people – nobody wishes somebody would be sick.
No.
Or anything like that. That's not it at all. It's just that when you see the kinds of symptoms she exhibits publicly, and then it doesn't seem to match with what they tell you what she has. In other
it
words,
creates more questions.
The other day, they're telling us she had a heat reaction to the heat in New York City when it was 78 degrees.
Right.
And she almost falls flat on her face, stumbling, getting into a van. That did not match.
And then they changed it. Oh,
yes.
No, it's pneumonia.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
yes.
Right.
And then Bill Clinton said it was the flu.
Right, yes. Right.
And also in an interview, this went around, he was being interviewed, I think it was by CBS, was it? And then he said this has happened
frequently.
And then he said, oh, no, I mean
rarely.
And then there was all that dust up over the fact that CNN, was it, when they re-aired part of that
CBS.
Interview?
PBS did the original interview,
there
then CBS. Did they edited?
They edited out the words of Bill Clinton saying, oh, this has happened frequently. So all that stuff, you throw that into a bag and shake it up, and people are going, I don't think they're telling us everything.
Right.
Which means Monday night at the debate, people are going to be watching every cough, every time Hillary Clinton has to do X, Y, or Z. If she even, has a twinge, people are going to be looking and saying, is she going to pass out?
Right.
That is something she's got to dispense
and like
with
I've
if
said,
she's going to go
it,
forward.
If you're sick or you have a condition, it doesn't mean you have to stop living or even running for president, for that matter. But if you're dishonest about it and you're hiding what you really have because you fear that it could hurt you in an election, and people begin to say to themselves, they're not telling us the story. They're not telling us the whole truth here. Then that does hurt you.
Especially if you add everything else.
Right.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
All the other baggage.
They already, the American people, and we're not making anything up here. The American people, a majority of American people already say she's dishonest.
Right.
So they factored that in already.
Yeah.
But if you think she's dishonest and you naturally think, well, if the symptoms aren't matching up If the publicly exhibited symptoms of her illness don't match up with what they're telling us, then they're lying again.
Right.
I think that's
what people think. Even Democrats, a lot of people think that.
And I think some of Trump's traction is the result of that. Not necessarily saying that she's so frail and feeble.
Right.
But when you have kind of this tremor underneath her, I'm talking about in terms of the you know, the people that are maybe not paying attention as closely. Well, they all this stuff going on about her not being honest, and then we see this video. I mean, the picture's worth a thousand words. Right. Her collapsing,
right?
And it's 78 degrees, and she's telling me it's because it's hot,
right? Yeah. Right.
Then, it's not hot. It's pneumonia,
right?
Oh no, it's not pneumonia.
They change their story.
It's the flu.
And so then people that aren't even paying attention start to connect. Right. Wait a minute. If she'll lie to me about her health,
right.
Maybe there's something to all of this other stuff that's going on. Right. And I think
I think that has played a part in her drop in the polls and Donald Trump being able to catch her. Basically a dead heat now, most people agree, across the country between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. First debate Monday night. Who's going to carry that debate, by the way? You know?
I know Lester Holt is moderating it. I'll find
out who's going to carry the debate. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to introduce our guest, Ed?
Absolutely. We are very pleased to interview today Jen Bricker, who's a motivational speaker and an author of the book, Everything is Possible, subtitled Finding the Faith and Courage to Follow Your Dreams. Jen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Jen, this is Tim. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Good. My co-host Ed here, he doesn't believe everything's possible. so I just wanted you to know that going in. He's a very pessimistic person.
I was just kind of joking around saying, I'm going to write the anti-book.
Right.
The anti-everything is possible book and see if I can sell a million copies and just see if I can write a book that's titled maybe Every Day is a Monday, This is as Good as It
Gets. Enjoy Your Mediocre Life. Things of that. Those are titles Ed's considering. But anyway, tell us. That is really funny. tell us a little bit. Tell us about yourself, Jen, if you would. The book is Everything is Possible. What's the story?
Well, geez, there's a lot of stories in there. Yeah. You know, I was born without legs and put up for adoption, left in the hospital, and was in foster home for the first 3 months of my life. I was adopted by, just a total perfect family for me. Grew up in the middle of nowhere in southern Illinois, cornfields, cows, literally nowhere. And, you know, it was the perfect place for me to be raised. I was raised with three older brothers and my parents just, there was no camp, there was no it's too dangerous. There was just empowerment and encouragement, strong. Like I always came out an athlete and I came out strong with my personality, but my parents really nurtured that and really celebrated who I was. And so I did softball, basketball, volleyball, power tumbling, you know, all against able-bodied athletes, no prosthetics, no wheelchair. You know, to me, it just didn't dawn on me that I would do anything with, you know, the disabled community because I didn't realize or think of myself like that or identify as that. And I certainly wasn't treated like that at home or at school. So I just was doing everything with everyone else, even roller skating, you know, putting the skates on my hands and just making it happen, making it work. And that's how I was raised. And I was always drawn to gymnastics and drawn to Dominique Moceanu in the Olympics in 1996, 20 years ago, which is insane. And right before I turned 16, I found out that she was my biological sister. So I had watched her growing up, and then I find out she's my biological sister. Then I have another younger sister, Christina, and I spent 4 years trying to let them know that they had another sister out there. We all met in May of 2008, and since then we've just been growing our relationship, and my career as an acrobat and an aerialist has taken me all over the world to over 14 countries, and also my speaking career as well, and now my book is out. So that's a short summarization.
Well, Jen, I think it's extraordinary. Let me kind of go back to the beginning there as you're telling that story. And by the way, folks, we're talking with Jen Bricker, who's author of the book Everything is Possible, Finding the Faith and Courage to Follow Your Dreams. You know, you're given up for adoption, I'm guessing because you were born without legs, and that would be a tremendous challenge for anybody, but you were adopted by people who said, we'll take that challenge on. And not only that, but encourage our daughter to excel and succeed. Talk a little bit about the challenge of adoption and a little bit more about your parents, because obviously they encouraged you, but that first step to adopt a baby without legs, knowing that that is going to mean plenty of challenges, that first step is a doozy, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think so much of my story that's amazing started before I ever even came into the picture. And that's because my parents. And that, you're exactly right. I mean, it's amazing to me that they just, you know, it just didn't even dawn on them. I mean, my mom always wanted a girl. She prayed for 10 years for a baby girl, had 3 boys. After that, had to have a hysterectomy so she couldn't have kids. And one day, here's about this girl that was born without legs that needs a home. And a light bulb just goes off, and she's like, that must be her. I want her. I need her. You know, she needs a family. We want a girl. And it was just one miracle after another. I mean, they got me in record time, and they, of course, they didn't know what, if any, you know, what challenges, if there was going to be challenges. And the first set of doctors that they took me to said I would never even sit up on my own. I mean, this is a team of doctors in a really big hospital, and their conclusion for my future was that I was going to be confined to this device, that I was going to be stuck inside, and it was going to hold me upright the rest of my life, and that was my future. And my parents were like, no way. No way, that's not her. There's just no way that's her future. They just couldn't accept that, and so they took me to the Shriners Hospital, and they said, you know, she's going to do things that are going to blow your mind. She's going to do things that are beyond your wildest imagination. And my parents, they knew that already, but then just having that confirmation from another set of doctors that weren't saying that my future was basically confined to this device doing nothing, that was encouraging for them, and that just set the tone. And, you know, they fought for my independence from day one, and it taught me how to do that and how to be independent.
Well, and because your book is a book about faith, too, faith in God and faith in Christ, you know, the thing is,
hello?
if yes, can you hear me still? Jen, can you still hear me?
Are you guys there?
Yes. You can't hear me, Jen? Okay, we're apparently having some technical issues, so we'll
so
try
Michael
to get...
Savage wasn't blowing us off.
Yeah, he wasn't blowing us off. So we're going to try to get back in touch with Jen. I have no idea what, you know, the more technically advanced...
That is twice it's happened in the last hour where the... For some reason, I mean, you had a bad phone connection. Must be on our end, because
it was two,
figure
yeah,
that out.
So we'll try to get Jen back in. Okay, Jen, can you hear us now?
I can.
Okay, great. Well, listen, the point I was trying to make is, because this is a story about faith, it's very interesting that your mom always wanted a daughter, but she had 3 boys. You know, in other words, when people are going through difficult times, sometimes it's only too easy, and I say this about myself and nobody else, it's only too easy to say, woe is me, rather than look for what God might intend for you because things initially didn't work out the way you wanted.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sure where I cut off, and I was just talking away, so I'm not sure what the last thing I said was, but, you know, it's just, it's incredible that they, you know, they'd never adopted. They were the least likely people to adopt, and they didn't know anything about people without legs and anything like that, and they just took it on full force, and, you know, they were like, well, it's the same as having a baby. Naturally, you don't know how it's going to come out, and you don't know if there's going to be any complications, but you love the baby anyway, and that's how they raised me, and the first set of doctors, you know, told them I would never even sit up on my own. I mean, crazy. Well, I would be confined to this device. And they just said, no way. That's not going to be her future. We just don't accept that. And they raised me with just literally beyond saying you can't. It was a lifestyle. And faith was every single part of that from day one.
Well, Jen, what does it say, and what do you say to people? You know, the abortion debate continues to rage in our country. It seems like it's going to go on and on and on. But our cultural view of what a good life is, what a life that we had. I'm just speaking in a generic way. Yeah, we checked. Our baby is going to have disabilities. So we want to abort that baby because the quality of life is going to be X, Y, and Z. Your life is a demonstration of the fact that a soul is a precious thing, and it doesn't really matter what the outer shell looks like. Your life is an example of the fact that with God's help, the person who's inside can still have a tremendous life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, we can't see into the future, you know, and God knows what we don't know. And so even when something looks so dark on the outside, I mean, when you say the beginning of my life, born with no legs, left in the hospital, put up for adoption, not even given a name, that sounds rough, right? But then look how God used it to turn it into something beautiful. And you can't really foresee that in the immediate right now. And so I think you just don't know, like, honestly, not to quote my book and not to be cheesy, this is not even to quote my book at all, but really everything is possible, and we can't see the everything. It's just, we just don't know. And so saying, well, this is going to be a problem with my kid, there's no way that their quality of life can be great, we just don't know enough to actually say that statement. And I think to give someone a chance, you know, one person can change the world, and I really believe that. And so I think God is definitely using my life as an example of everything you just said.
Well, Jen, we got about 60 seconds left with you. Apologize for the technical difficulties. Let me ask you last question. What two words do you encourage people to remove from their vocabulary, and why?
I can't, you know, was removed from my vocabulary, and it was beyond saying, it was a lifestyle. It was living the lifestyle of once you say you can't, you believe you can't, and then you automatically block yourself from moving forward and believing anything else is possible. So if you remove those words from your life, it is more of a lifestyle, and don't get in your own way, basically.
Jen Bricker has been our guest. She's a motivational speaker and author of the book, Everything is Possible, Finding the Faith and Courage to Follow Your Dreams. Jen, tell our listeners your website, and I'm assuming you do, you're a motivational speaker. If someone wants to have you at a conference or a church service.
As are you, Ed.
As am I. How can they get a hold of you, Jen, so they can have you come speak to their group?
Yes, jenbricker.com, and, you know, all the contact information is on my website. Same for the book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, everywhere it's available. So you can contact me easily through my website.
B-R-I-C-K-E-R is Jen's last name.
Jen Bricker.
Thank you, Jen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
Well, you know what? I just don't believe all that, Tim.
I'll tell you one thing I can't do. And that's score under par on golf.
Folks, please, I am just kidding about I don't believe all that. I hope you don't start emailing me.
And I don't care how many times I say I can. Unless God intervenes.
I can't play full court basketball anymore, but I guess if I take Jen's advice, I could start working out and get myself back in that kind of shape.
I pray about golf. Will not do that.
Well, you may be right on that.
I think the Lord's got bigger things to... Anyway, hey, folks, have a little fun. We'll see you back here tomorrow with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio.